Isn't it something that this is one of the well-known sports icons? Is this swoosh right here? This whole idea of victory and how this word is rooted in the scripture and lets us know that this is the essence of the Christian faith, is to walk in victory.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series titled, God Came to Us. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of God Came to Us to Give Us the Victory.
We get our word Nike from. And so this word overcomer in 1 John chapter 5, or overcome, comes from the Greek word Nike. And the word Nike means to get the victory. Get the victory. Are you walking in defeat and discouragement? Are you walking around like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders and you just don't know where to turn? My friends, that's not why Jesus came. He came to give you the victory. He came so that you might ride on the horse victorious. So as we come this morning, I want to speak to you on this subject. Jesus came in order for believers to just do it. Just do it. What? Walk in victory. You know, I think about, and many of you, as I say on many Sundays, already know, as soon as church is over, where you are going and what you're going to do. And many of you are going right to your radio and turn on the game because you want to listen to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I often say, I know some of you get tired of hearing me say this, but you know, we thank the Lord that we have a football team here in Pittsburgh, but you know, I'm not going to cut the message short as requested or desired by some for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you know, one thing I see about the Steelers is that you know, they have a good record so far this year. But now, if you look at the Steelers, one of the problems is that this year they are beating the good teams. I mean, the good teams that have good records, they're beating them. But when they play somebody that's 1-something or 0-something, those are the teams that they struggle with. And so somebody said, well, you know, they should be winning these games. But then you hear somebody else say, that's the reason they play the game. They play the game because the victory is not guaranteed. I think about the Christian life, that we should walk in victory, that we play the game, we face the battles every day, but no matter who we are coming against, whether they are 1-something, 0-something, or 16-0, every day we should walk in the victory. If you'll turn there real quick, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. And he says here, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have been handed the victory. Like I said, the NFL, the teams go out in the NFL, they got to play the game. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. I'm going to try this side over here. The reason in the NFL that they play the game is because they got to see who's going to win the game. We already won. And so every day we should be walking in victory. As a matter of fact, if you'll go to that next slide, I'll just say this. God wants you to be overcomers from head to toe. He wants you to walk in victory in your mind, in your body, and in your walk. There was an expression that was out. I don't hear it too much these days, but the expression was dress to kill. That if you saw somebody that was sharp, you know, you say, man, that person right there, boy, they're dressed to kill. Well, God wants us to dress for victory. Nike, the sign of victory. Isn't it something that this is one of the well-known sports icons? Is this swoosh right here? This whole idea of victory and how this word is rooted in the scripture and lets us know that this is the essence of the Christian faith, is to walk in victory. Now, I want to share with you four things this morning that if we will seek to allow the Lord to minister to us and to work through us, that we can see ourselves walking victoriously in victory. Let's look at the first one. We should walk victorious over evil. It should not be mentioned among the people of God that there is evil in your life. And yet and still, we see so many people that are trying to do evil. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we need to realize that as God looks at us, he wants us to overcome any evil that's in the world. He wants us to overcome it with good. In verse 17 of Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, and he says this, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me read verse 21 again. Be not Nike'd by evil, but Nike evil with good. That we should not find ourselves fighting evil with evil. It broke my heart a couple of weeks ago as I sat in my living room and I watched the events in Ferguson, Missouri unfold after the verdict of Michael Brown was read. And I saw how that it started out where, regardless of how you fall on the decision, it started out they were trying to fight evil with good. Protesting, doing things the right way, trying to make a change, trying to make a difference by doing it in a peaceful and a wholesome way. But as I watched on TV, all of a sudden, things took a turn for the worse. And now, what did people start to do? They started to fight evil with evil. And it broke my heart as I sat there and looked at people breaking out store windows and thinking that here are some of the very people in the community who have invested their heart in the community, and you go in there and wipe out their business in a matter of minutes. It broke my heart, and I almost started to cry. A tear came to my eye when I saw people walking out. And I'm thinking that, don't these folks know that CNN, Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS, that all these cameras are there, that I'm sitting in my living room in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm watching you break the window in the store and come out with a bottle of water. I just thought to myself, wow. But this is the world. This is the way the world deals with it. God says that we should not overcome evil with evil. But if we are living this Nike life, if we are living this victorious life, that we should overcome evil with good. Notice a couple things that he says here. Verse 19, he says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath." Now, in the original language, the word "thee" is before wrath. And so what he says is rather give place to the wrath. Well, what is the wrath? That's God's wrath. Let God handle the situation. Do you know how powerful it is for you to have somebody commit an injustice to you and then you just turn it over to the Lord and let him work it out? And you know, I realize that that's not our testimony. I realize that that's something that we struggle with. I struggle with it too, because what do we naturally want to do? We want to get revenge. You know, it's just like the lady who used to go with her neighbors on a picnic all the time. And they would always invite her to go on a picnic. And she loved it. That was the highlight of her day, was to go on a picnic. And so one day she knew they were going on a picnic, and they forgot to ask her to go. And she was very upset that they didn't ask her. And she was angry that they didn't ask her. She saw them get in the car and leave. And she was fuming. And they turned around and came back, and they forgot that they had asked her. So they knocked on the door and asked her, "Did she want to come to the picnic?" And she said, "Well, no, I really don't, because I already prayed for it to rain." That's the spirit, right? That's the spirit that we have. But the spirit of an overcomer, the spirit of a victor, is regardless if I get invited to the picnic or not, I still have this mindset where I'm not going to fight good or fight evil with evil. Notice, as we go on to read here, he says, "Give place to the wrath, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." And as you look at this concept, what is coals of fire? That means if somebody is doing evil to you and you have this overcoming spirit, you have this Nike spirit within you, and they keep doing evil, and then you combat it with something good, and they do evil and you combat it with something good. That what the scripture is saying, there's actually one or two meanings that this could mean, is that as long as you keep doing that, that you're going to bring shame on their head, that you're heaping coals of fire on their head, coals of shame, because they keep, and you know, there are some nasty people in the world. I don't know if you know that. There are some nasty people in the world, and we can get nasty right along with them, or we can be a Nike Christian, and we can overcome. And here he says that if we're going to deal with nasty folk, that one way to deal with nastiness is to do good. And what are you doing? You're reaping coals of fire on their head that is bringing them shame. But there's another interpretation that says it was an Egyptian ritual whereby whenever somebody did you wrong and you did something good for them, that they would repent when they saw the good that you did, and they would actually put a bucket of hot coals and walk around with this holding these hot coals over their head to show that they repented. And you know, when you think about the Bible, it says that the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance. And so if we would take the attitude that we are going to do good to those who have done us wrong, that might be the thing that leads them to repentance more than trying to stab them in the back and go behind and get even. And so he concludes this again by saying, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, a lot of times, there's an expression that I heard. You might want to remember this one. It's called curse in the darkness. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression. Curse in the darkness. Well, you know what that means? That means when you see adults selling drugs to teenagers. What's wrong with them, man? Oh, they shouldn't do that. What are you doing? You're cursing the darkness. Whenever you see somebody committing an offense that is egregious and that hurts somebody, man, they shouldn't do that. And so we're in the habit of what? Cursing the darkness. But I believe another application of this verse is that you can curse the darkness, or you can try to shine light on it. And a lot of people, you know, sometimes we are just happy cursing the darkness. You know, we're just happy to sit back in our living room. You know, one of the things that breaks my heart when I get up in the morning, and if I turn on the television and I turn on the news, you know, one thing that breaks my heart is to hear that somebody got killed in Homewood. And every morning, and it doesn't happen every morning, but quite often throughout the week, you hear somebody getting shot, or somebody like this young man last week that was running from the police and crashed over here in Homewood and killed and died. And you can look and say, man, what's wrong with these people? How come they keep doing that? Cursing the darkness. Or you can say, Lord, how can I make a difference? How can I make a difference? That's why we need volunteers, you know, to go down to Faison School, maybe work with some of these young folk, get a hold of them before they become adults who have drifted from the Lord. That's why we have programs here on Friday, the Master's Kitchen, Food Pantry, so that, you know, we can show the love of God to the community. That's why, you know, we are involved with Homewood Children's Village so that, you know, we can have an impact on the education here in Homewood. That's why we are connected with the Homewood Community Ministries that's trying to do some things to deal with violence. That's why Brother George Angel and I, next year, we've already started working on this. And we already got a date, right, George? Ready to go. We are going to have, now don't boo me out, I hope you clap for this, because you know, we're not going to sit back and curse the darkness, but we are going to try to bring the light. We are going to have a law enforcement recognition day here at Bethany Baptist Church, where we invite policemen, where we invite people who are in the justice system to come, because we're looking to bring a healing. You know, we don't want to just say, well, them out there, you know, why are they doing this? Man, we're trying to bring a healing, you know, between these folk that are supposed to be protecting us and the attitudes that are in the community. And so we can sit back and say, well, how come police are killing black men? And we can keep cursing the darkness. Or we can say, man, let's try to do something. Let's make an impact. Let's get, you know, I don't know whether you know it or not, but there's a whole lot of good Christian people in law enforcement. A whole lot of good Christian people. Everybody's not out to, you know, shoot somebody, as some would think. And so we need to realize that sitting back and just continually cursing the darkness is not what God would have us to do. But he says right here, you need a scriptural base for it? Here it goes right here. Be not overcome by evil. Evil is overturning and overrunning our neighborhoods. Evil is overrunning our society. Evil is overrunning our community. He says that be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And as we look at it, I've heard this before, and I know you've heard this. All that it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. You want to see evil run rampant? You want to see evil to take control? Just don't do anything. And it's going to run, and it's going to take its course. It's going to be in the schools, all right? It's going to be in the communities. It's going to be everywhere if God's people, if you think about this, he says the word overcome, Nike. If God's people who have this Nike ability This ability that Jesus came. Remember, go back to 1 John 5. You know, he that is born of God. He that is born of God overcomes the world. Nikes the world. And this is the victory that God has given to us. So we need to walk victorious over evil. Let me move on here. The second thing we need to do, we need to walk victorious over the devil. Some people don't believe there's a devil. And you know where that lie came from, right? You remember that song, He Lives, Salvation to Impart? You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart, right? That's about Jesus. We can say something about the devil. He lives. Salvation to take away. Our lives to destroy. You ask me how I know he lives? Because he tried today. Yeah, he tried today. I don't know about you, but you know, the devil is busy. But the thing about it is that we have the power to overcome the devil. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have, here we go with our word again, Nike, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So without me actually going into a lot of detail in this passage, just let me break it down for you real quick, tell you what's going on. In here, in this passage, John is talking about four levels of Christian development. There is the babe, there is the father, there is the young man, and there is the child. Four levels of development. He says that, you know, hopefully if you've been a Christian long enough, you've come through all these developments. You know, you've been a child, you've been a young man, and you've been a father. So it's just not talking about males. It's talking about Christians in general. And so the idea here is, at some point, you should have been a young man, a young lady. And as a young man or young lady, what is the key thing that characterizes that stage of Christian growth? It is the fact that they overcame the evil one. They overcame the wicked one. And the idea here in the language that's used is that you overcame, and now you're standing on his neck, looking down on him. That's the idea in this passage right here. That you came into a fight, you came into a skirmish with the evil one. And as a result of that skirmish, that you came out and you got your foot on the devil's neck and you're looking down at him. So often than not, we find ourselves looking up with the devil's foot on our neck. And you are a victor. You have the power to overcome. Let me tell you this, two things. First of all, if you think that the devil's not after you, you need to read the Bible. Because Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to have you and sift you like wheat. You know, he desires to sift you, to shake you violently, to destroy your life. And then we read in another place, the devil goes around like a roaring lion.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of God Came to Us to Give Us the Victory. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, God Came to Us to Give Us the Victory, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request God came to us to give us the victory. Again, that is 877-831-5060 and request God came to us to give us the victory.
If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.